Psalm 19. Reading about Gypsy Smith, great preacher, Gypsy Smith. He said, a man walked up to him one time and said this. He said, preacher, I've read that Bible 3 and 4 times, several times through, and it has yet to inspire me. Brother Gypsy, never at a loss for a cutting remark such as that, he quickly said, ah, yes. But let it run through you once, and it'll make a difference. You know, instead of me and you run through the Word of God, we ought to let the Word of God run through us.
Right.
Boy, it'd make a real difference, wouldn't it?
Amen.
I'm glad tonight to be able to stand in this pulpit and look you right dead set in the eyes and say, I love every one of you in this building.
Amen.
Without exception.
Amen.
And I'm glad for love these people that you have for each other. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I love the Word of God. I love
Amen.
It. Preaching, I went to a church, the preacher had finished preaching, a little boy went to the altar, was sitting beside me, and went up there and knelt beside him. Boy had old, bad, messed up blue jeans, is ripped and dirty, and his clothes is filthy, and he smelled bad, and he sat right beside me. I didn't know him from anybody, but he sat right beside me that night. I had my Bible. He'd hold one side of my Bible, I'll hold the other, and we shared. And he rubbed the pages of my Bible. And then God smote his heart by the Holy Ghost. He went to the altar there, and I knelt with him and laid my Bible down and showed him a few verses. And the boy started weeping, and he got gloriously saved. Went back to our seat. Looked at him, I said, son, you have a Bible? No, sir. We'll get that boy a Bible. I love the Word of God, and I want him to have one. My little youngin' was cutting up and sitting right behind me, so I took my youngin' out to get better acquainted with it, if you know what I mean. And we went downstairs and had warm fellowship. We embraced. And after things had calmed down, that youngin' was kind of excited, and I was all right. But we calmed down, and we came back upstairs, and people was testifying in the service. I came back there. I left my Bible laying there with that little boy. Boy, he's holding its pages. Just take your Bible and just rub its pages. Rub it. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
That's God's love letter to you.
Amen.
Oh, how we ought to cherish it. I sit down there, and God said, watch him. How he loves my Word. You take it home and lay it down on the coffee table. Don't pick it up for 2 or 3 more days, maybe. You don't read like you should. Some of you have to ask, honey, where'd you put my Bible? Been a week since you've been seeing it. You didn't even know if you had even left it at church or not. You had no idea. God said, you don't love the Word of God like that little boy does. And I couldn't wait to get him a Bible. And when I went back to give him a Bible the next day, his mama had attacked him when he got home and said he'd got saved and said he was home 5 minutes later than he was supposed to be in. She attacked him, jumped all over it, wouldn't let him go back to church anymore. Did not want him to have that Bible. I since got it to him a little later, but he got that Bible against his mama's wishes. I said, preacher, you should have respected her. I respect the Word of God. And I believe it'll help change that little boy's life. He's already saved. They say the Bible's like a telescope. You can take a telescope and you can look through it and you can see beyond. But if you just look at a telescope, it won't do you a whole lot of good.
Yeah.
Bible's the same way. Boy, if you take it and read it and study it, boy, you can see things beyond. Get discernment and understanding. But if you just look at it, it won't help you a bit. We'll let the Word of God run through us tonight. Man, stand with me. I want to read a few words tonight. Just some simple poetry here that's in the Psalms, inspired Word of God, I believe, don't you?
Amen.
Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I believe these verses are speaking about the infallible, inerrant, complete, entire Word of God. The preacher, they want to add the book of Judas to it. That's a lie. It's a sham. The book of Judas don't belong. He'd have wanted that in. If they'd have wanted that in there, God would put it in there.
Amen.
In fact, it don't even line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is written by all these different authors, some on the king's throne and some in a lowly prison cell. And they didn't even know each other. Yet when you compare them all, there's no contradiction.
Right.
Guarantee you, if tonight I sat down in one room and began to write, and you in another and began to write, we'd contradict each other before we got through.
Right.
Four boys was on their way to school, had a flat, said that was late, and said when they got to school, said, "Why was you late?" Said, "We had a flat tire." They said, "Well, you're tardy." They said, "Well, we had a flat tire." Truant officer took them aside one by one, said which tire was flat. Driver said front left. Passenger said front right. Boy in the back said back left. Boy on the other side said back right. Had a flat tire all right, but they couldn't agree on their story. But I'm glad the Word of God's without contradiction.
Amen.
It agrees perfectly. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God which we hold in our hands. Help us not to study it, that we might be made a better person, that we might grow as you see fit. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. Try to be very quick. I want to preach how the Word of God is sweeter than honey. Now, honey is one of my favorite things, my favorite food, I believe. Don't eat too much of it. It'll ruin you. But I love honey. I love to eat even the honeycomb. Some of you don't like honey. Some of you don't like the honeycomb. But I like the honeycomb as well. Good stuff, amen. I want you to know that when I think about the honey and the honeycomb and how much I love it, the Word of God is even sweeter and more precious to me than a honey and a honeycomb. I want to preach on this thought, sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. Now, honey is the one food, there's only one, the one food that will not ever go bad.
Amen.
They have found it in the pyramids where all these pharaohs were buried, and honey was buried with them, and it was still good thousands of years later. Still edible, still good. Now, I don't know if I'd be wanting to eat thousand-year-old honey, but I'm glad we've got something that's more precious tonight and sweeter. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's never gone bad. It won't, amen. Somebody says we need to change it to this version. We need to change it to that version. The Word of God, does it not tell us that we should add to or take away from the Word of God?
Amen.
You remember when God wrote the Ten Commandments, He wrote them. It was the finger writing of God. Moses had brought up two tablets, right? He wrote them front and back. That's what the Bible says. I believe it was on front and back, not just on the front. If it had been just on the front, man would have took it over on the backside and started chiseling in some of his thoughts. And he'd have got credit for it. But God wrote it on the front and back, and it was entirely full. You know why? It was full. So man could not add anything to it or take away from it. It was the Word of God. The Word of God is not to be messed with. Amen? Let's look at tonight. What is? What is the Word of God? What it is? Well, what's this simple poetry form? What's this? Verse 7. The Word of God is the law of the Lord. Law meaning the rule of God. This is God's rule book. Look with me down in this verse. It says, the testimony of the Lord. Testimony meaning it is evidence. And it is proof. All these men would not contradict themselves. Amen. It's proof and evidence to you and I tonight that there is a God.
Amen.
And there is His Son named Jesus. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord. Statutes meaning the written law. Unmistakably and clearly marked out before us. Verse 8 again. You see where it says the commandment of the Lord. That's not mere counsel or instruction, but it is the authoritative Word of God. Verse 9, it says,
the fear of the Lord. In other words, it is the revered Word of God. Our problem nowadays is nobody fears the Word of God anymore.
Amen. It
says the judgments of the Lord in verse 9. Judgment, that is His administration. It is the execution of His will. Now I want you to see what the law, look back at verse 7, what the law of the Lord is. It is His rule, but look, it said it is perfect. That means it's faultless. It is complete. Boy, I'm telling you tonight, I cannot stand before you as faultless. I don't know anybody in this room that can. I don't know any document that would stand up as faultless. But the Word of God is without fault and beyond fault tonight. It's perfect. He says that the testimony of the Lord is what? It is sure. That means it's reliable. That means, my friend tonight, it is something that can be confidenced. I don't take everything I read into confidence, do you? Some people give you what their opinion of something is. May help you or may hurt you. You don't know. But I'm glad tonight the Word of God, my friend, it can be taken as sure. It is unmovable.
Amen.
Down here in verse 8 again, it says, the statutes of the Lord, meaning where it's unmistakably marked out, it says the statutes of the Lord are right. In other words, His Word is correct. It is appropriate. You may say it is outdated, preacher. We don't like the these and the thous and all this stuff. Well, why is it when you get up to sing the song, How Great Thou Art, you don't change the words of that song? Why, well, everybody wants to change the Word of God, but ain't nobody wants to change what the songbook says. The songbook's not inspired of God, but the Word of God is. That's what it is the devil wants to change. He wants to tell your flesh it needs to be changed. The these and thous I can't understand. Well, let's sing the song. How great you are, how great you are. You don't like that. That's not the way the song goes. And it's not the way the Word of God goes either. Amen. Read on with me. Verse number 8, the commandment of the Lord, not the counsel, but the authoritative instruction of the Lord. What is it? It is pure. That means it is clear and free from flaws. You can't drink out of the river. You can't drink out of the creek. You ain't been able to drink out of it in years. You know why? It ain't pure. Somebody's always in there polluting it, messing it up. And I want to tell you what, the Word of God's not messed up tonight. They'll take all these different versions and come up with all this different stuff. But let me tell y'all something, just in case you're wondering. The Bible says, forever settled in heaven, O God, is His Word. It's forever settled. He's got the original copy. If you ever want to debate on what it says or what it means, when you get there, He'll clear matters up. He's going to show a lot of people where there's wrong.
Amen.
I believe that. Look with me down here in verse number 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. I mean, it's undefiled. Boy, I'm glad tonight we have something that's undefiled.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse number 9 again says, the judgments of the Lord are true. That means they're correct. They are exact and they are eternal. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And I want to tell you what not, the words of God are true. Let every man be a liar, but God's true.
Amen.
What is the Word of God? It is all these things. I want to say number 2. What does the Word of God do? We've seen what it is. What does it do? Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Hey, you know what that means? That means there's a change. You're no longer you wandering around looking for something that's right. When your soul is converted, that means you've been saved. Born again, things are different now. You're not the old creation you was. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what was it that birthed you in? Well, you got into the preached Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
I like that, don't you? The Word of God converts the soul. Look with me. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He tells us how a man can be saved. I mean, how can a man be born again? Can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time, said Nicodemus, that educated Pharisee? Oh, God says, let me tell you something. I will make wise the simple.
You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be born of water and of spirit. In other words, you've got to go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He makes wise the simple.
Amen.
I read a story about an old park ranger. He was up there in Yellowstone. True story. He was in Yellowstone, and his job was to show them animal life and plant life and all these wonderful rocks and mountains that were there. And you know what? God created them. But you'd have thought from hearing that park ranger, he is the one done the whole job. And he took that tour up through there and shared with everybody how old these flowers was and how they grow and all that stuff. And they kept talking to him on his two-way radio. And in fact, they became more of a problem interrupting him than anything else. So he cut his radio off. Thought they ain't nothing but an interruption with my tour. And he went on up and on up and on up, and he was nearing the top of the mountain there. But all of a sudden, another one of the park rangers come running up to him, completely out of breath. "Man, what's wrong with you?" He said, "What do you mean?" "Man, we've been looking for you, trying to get your attention." "Why?" He said, "I want you to know there's a grizzly bear that's following y'all and chasing y'all, and your lives are in danger. You better get to a safe place. We've been trying to warn you on the radio." But the ranger cut it off. Let me tell you what, the Word of God warns you how you ought to live your life each and every day. But so many of you want to cut it off. So many of you don't want to read it. You don't hear the preacher preach about it. You don't want to hear anybody to tell you what's right or what's wrong. It's because it makes wise the simple, and you don't want to hear it. But I'm glad, amen, the Word of God, it converts the soul, and it does make wise the simple. Amen. Look with me in verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What about that? It causes our hearts to be encouraged.
Right.
It gives us joy. I just couldn't believe it. When I worked at Steelcase 10 and 12 hours a day, and I'd come in there to church, and I'd be wore out completely, exhausted. It was all I could do to even be there. I barely got through the door and sit down. Hadn't had supper. Just exhausted. They said, "Sing in the choir," and I said, "Not me." Hey, God said, "Testimony," and I said, "I'm unable." I'm telling you what, I could have crawled under the carpet, I slow. But the man of God got in the pulpit and started sharing with us the Word of God, and something began to nourish my soul and began to encourage me, and joy sprang up, and I left with a smile where I'd come in with a frown. I left nourished where I'd come in hungry. I'm glad the Word of God, it'll help us and nourish us and cause us to rejoice in our hearts when we get under it.
Amen.
Gypsy Smith said, "Don't, my friend, go through the Word of God. Let the Word of God go through you." That'll make a difference in your life. Amen. He says again, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Verse 8, enlightening the eyes. In other words, through the Word of God, He gives you understanding. He gives you discernment. Hallelujah. How many times have you read that verse and read that verse, and then all of a sudden, God specifically places it in your path sometime later, and you got just exactly what it meant. He had enlightened you and shown you what you didn't know before. Hey, the Word of God is like a light. It's a beacon shining strong, and it'll expose the problems in your life. I remember that old man that went out hunting with his buddy, and they decided to go separate ways to hunt down some deer tracks, and it began to rain, and the man didn't have on the proper dress for that evening. And so, completely saturated with water, and the wind began to blow, and he was cold. And he found a cave to go in, and he went in that cave, and he sat down there, and he was there so cold, and began to shake all over, and thought, "What can I do?" Well, he seen a few twigs laying at the mouth of the cave, and the wind hadn't blown the water in on him, and he just hadn't have a match, and he put those sticks together, and boy, where he was so comfortable in that cave, and felt nice and safe, a dry place, a place where he could get away from the elements. He lit that match and began to stoke up a fire there. And as the fire got bigger, fire puts out a light, amen? And the light began to shine in that old dark cave he's in. And he saw this big old spider web over his head. Big old hairy spider just hanging there, ready to come down and get in his hair or bite him on the end of his nose. And he looked around, and laying right behind him was a bunch of snakes all curled up. He went right in a den of snakes and in a den of spiders, and he was comfortable there. But when the light showed him what was around him, amen, bless God, whether he was cold or wet, he said, "I ain't staying here in the den of iniquity," and out of there he came.
Right.
You know why? What the Word of God does? When you and I get comfortable in sin, we get comfortable in our condition. When the Word of God is preached and declared, when the light shines in the midst of our darkness,
It enlightens our eyes and shows us the problems and things that are around us. And bless God, we'll move to better ground.
Amen.
Get away from those things.
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That means the Word of God enduring forever means that it remains. That it stands. It stands no matter what else changes. It's without change.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the Lord. Did he not? Over there in the old. Said, I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever the Word of God will stand. And I hold a copy in my hands.
Amen.
Boy, I'm honored. And he had enough mercy and grace to shine my way to allow me to have a copy. Now, I don't have one. I've got more than that at the house. Sitting there on shelves. So I sit down and study and run references. Thank God for his word. The Bible says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous forever. What does that mean? And righteous forever. That there's right actions. God has never made a wrong move. He's never made a mistake. And the Word of God is free and clear from error. Amen? We've seen what it is. And we've seen what it does. But I want us to see thirdly, what it deserves. What it deserves. What do you mean, preacher? Let's go down to verse 10. It says, more to be desired are they than gold. The words now. Yea, than much fine gold. I want to say when we take the Word of God and value it more than gold, that means it's more important to you than your bank account.
Amen.
Help
him,
Lord. Help him, Lord.
Bless you.
Amen. How about that? That you love it. If you value it more than your bank account, that you love it and it is your treasure. Now I read about a man who was in an accident. And that accident, it blowed up in his face, caused him to be blind, destroyed the nerves in his face, cut both his hands off. One of his legs and his toes were gone on both feet. He was lucky just to be alive. But just before the accident, that young man had made a trip to the old-fashioned altar and called on Jesus and got gloriously saved. And he began to treasure the Word of God because now as a new creature with the Holy Ghost living inside, he had spiritual understanding of this spiritual book. And it meant something to him that it never meant before.
Right, yeah.
But now as a blind man, he can't read it. As a man without fingers, he can't even read Braille. So, well, I can hear it, but his nerve endings were shot, and his ear was damaged from the loudness of the explosion. He couldn't hear. Someone wrote to him and said, well, but he can't read or write. What are you going to do? Well, he remembered before he got saved about a young lady who had been in an accident, and she took her lips, and with her lips, she learned to read Braille. Boy, imagine that. Just kissing on the Word of God. So that old boy said, send me some Braille. Some scriptures with Braille. He began to put his lips to it. Desperate to have the Word of God. But the nerve ends had so destroyed in his face that he could not feel his lips, those bumps of Braille. So he stuck out his tongue. And he began to lather his tongue over those Braille bumps. And he could feel it. And so, friends, he began just with his tongue to read Braille. And they told me that this man has read the Word of God with his tongue four times through. And you and me have a copy. God's love letter to our heart and our soul. And how little we value or treasure it. We just take it for granted that tomorrow we'll get to read it. We just take it for granted that somebody's going to stand in the pulpit and declare it to us. I wonder if we were injured that badly if we treasured the Word of God enough. Put it up to our lips and up to our very tongues that we treasure it more than fine gold. That's love for the Word of God. I want you to see not only is he a love for the Word of God, desiring it more than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, but he says that it's sweeter also than the honeycomb. Sweeter than the
honey and the honeycomb. In other words, it's much to be delighted in. I can tell you about Granny Louise's lemon pie. Boy, she made me. I just want to tell you, she made me a homemade lemon pie on more than one occasion and got homemade meringue on it. You just don't buy them like that in the store. You don't run across many people that can make homemade meringue with lemon pie like that. One of the best I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, I could not come up with enough adjectives to have told y'all how good that pie was. The only thing you could have done is come and cut it and tasted it for yourself. The Word of God is the same way. I can tell you how much I treasure it and how great it is and how much, but unless you've experienced the same thing and partake of it yourself, you'll never know. There's an old boy got down there at Duke University, and his mom and daddy sent a copy of the Word of God down there with him. And old boy, after some time, things in Durham were pretty expensive, he ready to call back to mom and dad and said, "Hey, mom and dad, I'm in need of money." And they said, "Read Proverbs." Told him the chapter and the verse. I said, "We want you to read Psalms, chapter and verse." He called him back in a few days and said, "Hey, mom and dad, I need money still. Would you send me money?" And they said, "We want you to read chapter and verse. Let not your heart, don't set your affections on things in this world, but set your affections on things above, and all these verses." And old boy just wasn't getting it. What they had done was, they said, "You're reading your Bible." "Yeah, I'm reading my Bible, but I need money." They had sent his Bible down there with a $100 bill in Proverbs, with a $100 bill in the book of Matthew, with a $100 bill in the book of Colossians. And there he was in need of money. He said he read the Word of God, and he hadn't even opened it. If he would have, he'd have found out there's more inside than he bargained for.
Amen.
I want to tell you what, friend, it's more valuable than any gold or any money you'd ever find inside it. Its words will quicken you and will make you to live. Its words will freshen you up. Its words, my friend, are to be delighted in more than honey and honeycomb. They say if you eat honey, how quickly, it's the quickest food you can eat to give you an energy rush. I disagree. I believe you'll partake of the Word of God, you'll have plenty of energy. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say this and I'll close. I've been in the pulpit 25 minutes, okay?
Please.
25 minutes. Verse number 11. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned." Huh? "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward." Word of God ought to be studied. Y'all not just to read it, but y'all to study it. Run reference on it, amen? It ought to be obeyed. Not only should you read it, but you ought to obey its principles. Obey its precepts. Obey its teachings. Try to live your life in accordance to the Word of God. There's an old preacher come in the service one day. Back then, times was hard. Great Depression, nobody had nothing. They had a little old box at the back for donations to the church. That was the way they received their offering when you came in. You just put your donation in that little cardboard box with a top cut out, a little hole cut out the top of it. The preacher came in with his little boy, and he dropped in one quarter. And he went on up there in the service, and I want you to know he preached just a little patch. Nothing really happened. He didn't really stir much up, hell or heaven. And they closed the service, dry as dust, and they got ready to go home. Now the preacher went to the back with his little boy, and he shook the box, and he opened the box and turned it out. And out fell one coin, the same one he put in, a quarter. And his little boy said, "Daddy, maybe if you'd have put more in, you'd have got more out." Hello? Anybody home? I'm not talking about your tithe or your offering. I'm saying to you as Sunday school teachers, as Awana leaders, as Christians, if you'd put more in to the Word of God, you'd get more out. That's a message God's laid on my heart. What it is, what it does, and what it deserves. The Word of God. How we ought to love it. You stand with me tonight. I'll confess to you. Had this outline in my Bible for over a year. I've studied it. I've looked across it time and time again. God would not let me preach that message until tonight. I don't know why he had me wait that long. I've never waited this long to preach a message that I carried with me. It was in my Bible every single solitary day. Maybe closer to 2 years. Never done that. And this week, God said, I want you to prepare that message to preach. My Lord, it's already. No, you better look at it again. Never forget this, and we're going to close. One of my deacons, where I used to pastor. I don't like to talk about where I used to pastor because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but he's a great man. The last time I saw him, we went out the door there, we hugged each other. He was looking at the stars. He said, I wonder how far off them are. What a beautiful night it was and everything. And as I hugged his neck, he reached me a piece of candy. And he said, Preacher, I want you to stay sweet. Honest, I put that piece of candy in my pocket. Some other folks maybe give me candy. And you can't eat them all at one time. So I got 2 or 3 pieces of candy in my pocket. After they come to work and told me there'd been an accident, I thought it was my own family because it was the highway patrol who had come. And they said, if you can't leave work, you need to get down there. The family's all to pieces. And talked to my boss, and he let me go just a few minutes early. And I went down there to the residence, and they were all to pieces. Brother Grady, on his way to fish, he had an aneurysm or a heart attack, went right off the road and hit a tree and flipped his car, and it broke his neck. It was terrible. They asked me, Preacher, would you conduct a funeral? Well, I was honored. I was honored. I want to say to you, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. He's one of the sweetest people I've ever run across in my life. Had a dream there between when he had died and his funeral. Our church had clear windows, and on this side over here, I'll never forget in my dream, I saw him. He was on the outside looking in at what was going on. But he looked different. He didn't have on glasses no more. I recognized him. He didn't have that old white hair that he used to have. He looked like a young man, a strong young man. But I recognized him. Boy, it encouraged me. I went to the funeral there, stood before a family that was broken. What can I do but take the Word of God? Try to minister to them from that, let the Holy Ghost comfort them. That's all I can do.
Amen.
I reached my hand out of my pocket because I was kind of nervous. And I pulled out that piece of candy. And God showed me, he said, that's the same piece. You're wearing the same jacket you was wearing that night. That's the same piece of candy that he just gave you and told you. Stay sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, church, we leaving tonight. You ready to go into the choir practice? You may get ready to go your way and go home. You stay the Word of God. It'll keep you sweet.
Amen.
Hey, some of you get so bitter and so angry and so torn about things, but if you'd stay in the Word of God, you'd be a whole lot sweeter.
Amen.
I know I can use a little sweetening up.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads with me tonight, nobody looking. Preacher, I want to know more of the Word of God. I want to study it more. I've got good intentions. I pray God would help me to love it like I ought to. Preacher, I've not loved it like I should. I don't think I'd be willing, preacher, in the past of putting my lips on its pages to read it for Braille. But boy, that breaks my heart to hear that, but yet it encourages me how much I should cherish it and how much I take for granted. Preacher, I just want you to, I want to slip up my hand. I want to ask you, would you pray for me? I want to more of the Word of God. You just put your hand up and right back down. Boy, these folks raise their hands all over the house. Oh, God bless you. Anybody else say, Preacher, I really want to study it. I want to learn more about it. God bless you. Anybody else bless you? Hallelujah. Bless you. God sees that hand. Lord sees that hand.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Oh, preacher, this is stupid. This ain't going to work. Hey, you mind God. Yeah. You willing to drop your pride and raise your hand and say, I want to know more about the Word of God. I want to go through me. Anybody else? Bless you. New. Amen. Father, we thank you. Oh, how we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you've kept it and preserved it entire and complete all these years. And Lord, how you made so certain that that Word, it came right to my ears and to my heart. Oh, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for allowing me then to have my own personal copy. Oh, to follow when the preacher preaches. To read in the middle of the night. To read when the times of weeping are near. When the times of rejoicing surround me. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I confess to you tonight, Lord, that we as people, We take it for granted in America. The freedom we have to worship. The liberty we have to carry the Word of God. Father, thank you for it. And forgive us, Lord, where we've failed you. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. Enlighten us, we pray. And help us to love, delight, and study the Word of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.